If you'll stand for the reading of the word, we're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel 16 and 10 through 14. Amen. A very strange little sermon for you this morning, but I hope that it helps every one of us this morning. 1 Samuel 16 and 10. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. Samuel is there to anoint the next king of Israel. The Lord told him that that king was one of Jesse's sons, but he didn't tell him which one. Isn't that how God works? He just kind of gives you a little generality and you got to seek the rest of it out, right? That's how he works. So he had passed seven sons in front of him and the oil wouldn't flow. And he said, I don't know. He said, do it again. So this is the second time they've all come in front of him, these seven sons. And Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel a second time. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. I don't know. He said, it's not any of these seven. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? I mean, would you happen just by chance have another one? Because I know the Lord told me to come here. And he said, well, there remaineth yet the youngest, the caboose. He's out there. He said, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Boy, it looks like one of his brothers would have said, Daddy, have you forgot about David out there? Since it's none of us, surely it must be him. No. Let's do it again. Daddy's got to be me. Not a one of them said, Daddy, what about David? Even Daddy didn't mention it until Samuel questioned him. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Y'all go by outside appearance. He told him, he said, y'all go by the appearance on the outside. He said, not me. I go by the heart. Thank God for that. He'd have never chose me, but he saw something in me that was worth saving. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. Oh, those boys had to watch the oil flow on the little boy. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. I want to preach from this title this morning. You'll get it in a minute. From groundbreaking to ribbon cutting. From groundbreaking to ribbon cutting. Lord, I'm thankful for this opportunity to expound on your word and come before your people. Amen. Acknowledge you, Lord, that your word is holy. It is righteous and it is anointed. Just anoint us to hear it and anoint us to speak it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I do have, I'll be right back, y'all. I may come in over there. You never know. But I have something back here to show you. I'm back. Praise the Lord. How many of you remember I preached a sermon out of this bag and there was something in this bag? You remember what was in this bag? A shovel. And the title of that sermon was called Can You Dig It? You remember that? Can You Dig It? Because the difference between the one that was on the sand and the one that was hit the rock, the only difference between the two, they both built the same house. The only difference between the two was this. That was it. That was the only difference. The Bible says, and he digged deep till he hit the rock. The other one just says, let's start building. They built the same house. But while one of them, I'll re-preach that sermon real quick, while one of them was going down, the other one was going up. And it looked like, I'm falling behind. Look, what the world can take you higher than I'm going down. But when he hit Christ Jesus, the rock, he started building up. And then he built up. And when the storm came, same wind, same water, same flood, same thing, everything, same. But the house that was built upon the rock stood. But the house that built upon the sand, it shifted and fell, and great was the fall of it. Amen. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? It's a lot of sweat to dig. It's a lot of humiliation. The Bible says that the guy that got caught not being a good steward, he said, to dig, I am ashamed. There's not many good ditch diggers. You get blisters, you get tired, and all that kind of stuff. But those pipes do have to be dug up out there. But from groundbreaking, if you ever watched in the newspaper when they're going to start a big, yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Give me a couple, you kids, come on up here because we're going to get our picture taken. Come on. Yeah. Because we're going to break some ground here because I'm going to be the dignitary. They always give the shovel, to the guy that's... All right, y'all gather around me here. We're going to... And he got his foot like this. Wait, you got to take it again. My foot wasn't on. You got it? I can't hold out much longer. Okay. And we're going to break some ground. All right? Thank y'all. Y'all can have a seat now, unless you want to take this with you. I'm going to call y'all when we start digging out there. You'll dig it? All right, you can dig it. I guarantee you Brandon can dig it. And so they take your picture in the newspaper about digging it. We'll set that right here, because you got to start digging it. Let's see what else I've got in here. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And then there's the ribbon cutting. Yep. Ribbon cutting. Who's going to hold the ribbon? You can't all hold the ribbon. You're on the end. You hold the ribbon. Now don't pull it over there. Okay. All right. So we've got to go from groundbreaking to ribbon cutting. And when we first started out here at the church, you got some pictures of groundbreaking, right? We had showed the dozer out there, and we're breaking ground, And I got a call from the city saying, what y'all doing out there? They want to know what's going on. Now that it's up, they don't call me. But we had pictures, and we were sharing pictures. Look, we're breaking ground. And now that we have this, you're taking pictures of this. We forgot about that. Anybody that does come in here, and we want a lot of people to come, they'll never know that. They're going to know that. And so there is a way you got to go from groundbreaking to ribbon cutting. But there's a lot in between that and that. Amen. Now, just a real quick Jeopardy question. Anybody know, where was the first ribbon cutting that ever occurred? Guess what? Union Parish, Louisiana. The first ribbon cutting ever recorded was in 1800, I wrote it down here, in 98, when the Louisiana Railroad line was established, and they cut a ribbon to celebrate the train. And from then on, even marriages are now celebrated, especially in England, with ribbon cutting. But the newspaper will fail to tell you what happens between groundbreaking and ribbon cutting. But before you ever put a shovel in the ground, there has been planning done long before you put the shovel in the ground. We didn't just say, we're going to build a church here, get that dozer out there and clear us off some property. The plans were already made before the ground was ever broke. And I'm telling you, God's got plans for your life before you ever break ground. Didn't he say break up the fallow ground, right? Amen. And so a lot of times we quickly forget the groundbreaking when we do the ribbon cutting. And so it is. It's not uncommon. The Bible talks about when a harvest comes in, you forget the time of the planting. When a woman has a baby, she forgets the anguish of the pain of the 9 months when she has the delivery of the child. But the goal of every project is to complete it. The Bible says, who wouldn't sit down and count the cost to see if he has sufficient to what? Finish it. But the goal of every job is to finish it. But can I tell you what's perhaps more important than just finishing it is how you get there. How you get there is vitally important to the lasting of the thing or whether or not it's actually going to come out according to plan. Just because someone's wealthy doesn't mean that they're a good person just because they're wealthy. It's how you got it. How did you get it? Has a lot to do. Brother, I got a lot. If somebody works hard and they start out at the supermarket, now they're managing the supermarket and they're making $1 million a year, I'm like, thank God, that's wonderful. Thank God you worked your way up, man. You groundbreaking, ribbon cutting, Lord, you did it. But when you put ching and you make $1 million, I'm like, oh my bro. No groundbreaking, just ribbon cutting. And it won't last. It matters how you get it. Jacob found that out. He wanted a birthright. He got it. How'd you get it? Well, I sold a bowl of beans to my brother. That's how I got it. Well, you can't enjoy it when you get it that way. Well, I got the double blessing from my dad. Well, how did you get it? Well, I put on some clothes and I act like my brother. But I got it. But he couldn't enjoy it because of how he got it. Bible lets us know that ill-gotten gain will make you sick. Listen close. When you sacrifice your time and energy to get wealth or whatever it is, but you miss raising your children and your loved ones, being with your spouse, what did you really get? It's time I'm calling for everybody to compare their sacrifices. Compare your sacrifice. If what you sacrifice to gain one thing is greater than what you sacrifice losing the other thing, what did you gain? Or you understand that? Because you sacrifice a lot to obtain things in this life. But what did you sacrifice to get those things? And many times it's other people you sacrifice. And sometimes your own life. And when you get to the end, was it really worth it? The Bible puts it this way, for what would a man profit if he gained the whole world but sacrificed his soul? See, to gain the whole world, he sacrificed his soul. What did he gain? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? When the sacrifice is greater than what you gain, that equates to being lost. It's not worth it. Somebody say it's not worth it. There's a lot of things in my life I looked at and I said, you know, I'd like, but it's not worth it. It cost me to do it, and I'm not talking about monetary, it's not worth it. There's nothing wrong with wanting things, but some things to get them is not worth it. Both groundbreaking and ribbon cutting are exciting. It was exciting. They unloaded the dozer out here, and we saw some trees going down, and it's exciting when they handed some keys to us, and we're still working on getting the keys all started out, but it was exciting. Finishing, though, is not always the goal. Doing it right is the goal. David was out in this field, perhaps, let me use my imagination, shoveling dung, groundbreaking. They used it for fertilizer, and he's out there tending to sheep, having his own groundbreaking ceremony. But what he was really doing was following his father's orders. He was doing it right. What he was really doing out there was writing psalms and singing songs to a God who had not anointed him yet. He was doing it right before God ever chose him. And he said, that guy is a man after my own heart. But one day David gets the call while out in the field to come home. What do they want? I don't know. Come on home. I don't know. There's this strange guy here. He's got a horn and all. I don't know. He said something about King of Israel. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to be there. And he goes, and when he walks in there, Samuel knows now it's him. He goes over with a horn of oil. Now, we anoint you. We put a little. They didn't do that, brother. They poured the oil on. It dripped down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, down to the skirts of his garment. They poured that oil on you. And he anointed him to be king. And the Bible says that when he anointed him to be king, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. But unfortunately, it came out of Saul. It said, for the Lord withdrew his spirit from Saul, and he would begin to be troubled by an evil spirit, the Bible says, from God. So here's the groundbreaking ceremony of David as he moves into the palace, as David is anointed next to be the king next. But what ushered him into the palace was that when this evil spirit began to trouble Saul, he said, maybe if I could find somebody who could play the harp really well, it would drive that evil spirit back. Could you search for a cunning player that would play and would drive this spirit? It's like the next verse after this that I've just read to you. And they searched for a cunning man, and they found David. They found the man that was anointed. It was God's way of breaking ground and moving him into the palace. No, not to the throne, not to the ribbon cutting. It doesn't happen that quick, my brothers and sisters. People think their problems are going to go away. They can live for the devil 30 years and come to God in 30 days. They want all their problems gone. It doesn't work that way. But he now has begun to break ground. Jonathan gives him his clothes because he looks terrible to be in the king's palace looking like that. Jonathan actually took his clothes off and said, here, wear this. And he befriended him. But King Saul become envious of him and begin to chase him and begin to want him dead, and realize that when he killed the giant, he said, I heard the women out there with the tambourines dancing saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but that man, David, he's killed his 10,000. And what more could he want but the kingdom? But he began to play the harp. A javelin was thrown at him and it sunk into the wall. But David would run, he would hide. He really wouldn't fight Saul, but he was running for his own life, resisting him. Can I tell you, it was about 22 years from groundbreaking to ribbon cutting. It was a long time that David was anointed king before he would actually be the king. It could not happen until Saul was dead. If David could kill him, or he would die, then he would step into the kingship. But it wasn't God's plan. It was God's plan for him to kill the giant and cut his head off. But it was never God's plan for him to kill Saul to get the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So we find a situation where David had the opportunity to end it all and take the kingdom. Here's where he could have, let me just say it this way, cut the corners. Okay. 1 Samuel 24:1 says, and it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. And Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David, going to kill him, and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheep goats, by the way, where the corral where they kept the sheep, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave, not knowing how close David was to him. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, and thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. We're fixing to take the kingdom today. Kill this guy. Surely David's going to kill him. He's got a great opportunity. Then David arose and he cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. I happened to bring, who wants to wear the king's robe? Come on. Wear the king's robe. You're King Saul, okay? Put your arm in. your king's soul. Oh, you got it. Gird thyself. No, you can tie it from the front. You'd be better do it this way. There we go. Hail to the king. And so he's tired. You're tired, right? He's weary. And so he's going to go and he's going to lay down. And you're going to lay down right here. Because there's a cave right here. But before you do, he took his coat off. He took his robe off. Take your robe, because you got to cover your feet. Okay, lay down on your back. Yeah, that's good. Now, you're going to use this for cover. He covered his feet. Okay. You're asleep. And while he's asleep, David is in the cave. Now, you talk about a cunning guy. This guy is cunning. Not just a cunning player with that. This dude is cunning. He played the madman one time. You remember that? When the king thought he had him, and he said, bring him to me. And they said, that's David, the one that killed that giant. They brought David in. He's going, spit coming down his beard. And he scrabbled upon the wall like a madman. They said, what have you brought him? This guy's crazy. Get him out of here. As soon as he got outside, he come normal again. He was smart. And so here he is now. He snuck into the enemy's camp. And while you're sleeping, man. And while he's sleeping and snoring. There we go. David tiptoes in. And he takes. Oh, he's still asleep. And David cut corners. And the king wakes up. Wake up, O king. And puts his robe on. Not knowing. David backs off. The Bible says that his heart smote him when he did that. You know, every time you cut corners, your heart ought to smote you. Anytime, you know what cutting corners is? Is anytime you try to do something cheaper, easier than what the rules require to try to get the same outcome. This was, his servants thought he'll kill him. They said, this is his opportunity to kill him. Now he's going to be king. Oh, we're fixing to be in the kingship. But David said, no, let me just cut corners. So he cut the corner, and the king woke up. And he's standing on the mountain, and David, hey, look at this. And then he checks and sees, turn around and checks and sees. It's behind you. Look! And then he realizes, hey, I could have killed you if I would have wanted to. And I would have been the king and not you. David regretted doing that. He regretted doing that. Cutting corners never works. And King Saul said, surely you are God's anointed. Surely you could have killed me. He said, surely you're a better man than I am. And God be with you. And someday the kingdom will be yours. You know why it was so important? Thank you. Because one day, David would be king and wear that. I earned this. I waited a long time to get this. David knew that robe he would one day wear. And now it had a piece missing. It doesn't pay to cut corners. Bible says in 24 and 5, and it came to pass after David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed. Stretch not forth thine hand against him. See, and he is the anointed of the Lord. Yes, the Spirit of the Lord had left him, but yes, he was still the king. He was still the king. And Saul stayed his servants with his words and suffered them not to rise again against Saul. But Saul rose up from the cave and went his way. Just always remember that when you cut corners, Jacob, you can't enjoy what you've got. Listen to me, young people. You can go ahead and cheat if you want to. But in your heart, you know, that's not my score. That's not the real me. I have no idea this morning how people steal things and it doesn't bother them. People can steal my rods and reels and fish with them. How can you enjoy what you stole? I'm trying to help you kids to think through. When you steal something and you take something, you'll never really enjoy it because you know you didn't earn it. And David cut corners. Well, I'll just do this. I'm not going to kill him, but I'm going to let him know that I could have killed him. As they come this morning, when Samuel anointed David to be king, it was groundbreaking stuff. But it wouldn't be ribbon cutting until he would actually become king. The Lord anointed us to build this church. That's wonderful. It's got to be built. Amen. And it's got to be built right. I'm just telling you, you saw brick come down here. Brick went up and brick came down. I ain't doing it unless it's right. And you, in your life, everything should be right and above board. Don't worry, sis, we'll get that door fixed. That's on the punch list. David found out that cutting corners doesn't work. Just finishing is not what it's about. It's how you get there. Cutting corners in this earthly life and this spiritual life never give the desired outcome. There come a time, though, when David had gotten so dismayed and waiting to get the kingdom. When will I ever be the king? The Bible says he went to Ziklag. And there he stayed in the enemy's camp. I'm coming your way after a while. He stayed in the enemy's camp and decided to go out and fight against Saul in a battle with the king of Ziklag. How low can you get? And one of the guys that was with the king recognized David and said, wait a minute, dude, that's a giant killer right there. That guy right there, That's he was Saul's servant at one time. I know him. And I'm worried that we'll get out there in the battle and he'll reconcile his differences with his master and turn on us. Send that dude home. Send him home. I don't mean not fight. David left that day rejected again. Even the world now rejected him. He goes back to Ziklag, but before he gets there, the smoke is ascending. What's going on? And when he gets to the city, no one is there. Wives are gone. Children are gone. Everything is gone. And even the ones that used to support him turned on him and thought of stoning him. David got so low, he had no one to encourage him. So he encouraged himself in the Lord. In the Lord. He remembered the Lord. That's just what the prodigal son did. He remembered his father's house. And he remembered the Lord. And he said, now, Lord, should I go or leave this thing alone? What he did not know was while Ziklag was burning, Saul was dying. That was the battle that Saul died in. And he goes back, and you know the story, and recovered all. And he gets back and founds out that Saul is dead. Then all the men of Hebron and all of those of Judah began to gather around their new king and said, David is king, for Saul is dead. David is king, for Saul is dead. David is king, for Saul is dead. And they anointed him to be their king. And now it was the ribbon cutting. Hallelujah. Now it's your turn to be the king. It's your turn to be the anointed of God. It's a long ways from here to here. From here to there to here. There's a lot of shovels of dirt. A lot of times you say, well, I could do this easier if I just do. I could. Where'd my corner go? Don't cut the corners. Don't cut the corners. It'll come back to cut you. As you stand this morning, I wish that every child would come forward. Every parent, get behind their child if you can. Hallelujah. Because I want you to teach your babies not to cut corners, not to get around things, not to avoid the conflict. Teach them to do it right the first time. As they sing this morning, come on, church, find you a place to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I can't stress enough how important it is for you young ones to get the Holy Ghost. I cannot stress it enough. I cannot stress enough to parents to drill it into your kids' mind. You're lost without it. I said you're lost without it. We have watered this thing down to think, well, you're lost without it. There is a devil out there. There's a hell out there. And that's where you go without it. There's no promise of tomorrow. There's no promise of the future. And I'm going to tell you how you get it. You got to seek it.
That's right.
You're waiting for it to follow. You ain't going to do it. You got to seek it. The Bible says, they that seek the Lord shall find him. They that knock shall be opened. Amen. Ask and it shall be given unto you. You got to break some ground to get the Holy Ghost. You got to put the shovel in to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. We all want the ribbon cutting, but let me tell you, that's not how you get it. You get it breaking ground. God breaks your heart up and turns you over and convicts you. What I don't see today's society and today's kids is the conviction that they really need. I've watched little kids. I'm not saying here. First time I ever saw kids steal something, it broke my heart. I watched several kids go up to a candy thing, and one of them, they had a plan. They distract the cashier while the other one went up there and was loading his pockets full of stuff and gum, and I was with them, and I felt so guilty just being with them. You got to feel guilty when you're around people that aren't living for God. There should be a shame with that. I couldn't wait to get out of that vehicle with those kids. And I wondered, how can you eat that candy after stealing it? Ill-gotten gain will make the heart sick, the Bible says. And what we need to pray in this church, it's not just here, it's everywhere, it's conviction. It needs to hit these youth where they don't, I'm crying, but I don't know why. Conviction.
Right.
Mourning. Groundbreaking. Earth-shattering. Where they don't even sleep at night. I said, I thought you had to be old and adult. No. It starts here. Because I'm going to tell you what. If you can get by, if you find ways to cut corners, and you can get by, you'll start with these little bitty things. And they'll move up to a little bit bigger thing. And a little bit bigger thing. And a little bit thing. And you know what? Before long, you're a hardened criminal. You know how many people are incarcerated today that was raised in the church? Bukus of them. Bukus, raised in the church, hardened criminals today. It all started a little at a time. A little at a time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us, Jesus is right. Let's pray before we go. Pray for this church. Pray for these children. Pray for these parents as they raise their children. Lord, we come before you today.
Hallelujah. The world is lost. We don't want the church to be lost. Hallelujah. Those out in the world, God, we understand they're of the world, but we should not love the world nor the things of the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Teach us, Lord, how to teach our children. Teach our children, Lord, how to obey your laws and your rules and your statutes and receive your Spirit. For Lord, if we don't receive your Spirit, we have missed the reason why you came in the first place. For you said, I go away that I might send back the Comforter, that it might abide in us. Lord, help us today. Let a mighty wave of conviction, God. Hallelujah. I'm all for ribbon cutting, but without the ground breaking, there will be no ribbon cutting. God, dig this church up. Dig the people of this church up from the roots up, God. Help us, Lord, each every one of us to dig ourselves up and examine ourselves, God, and make sure we're ready to go at all times. In the name of Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We do have some things planned going forward. It's just that they're not fully developed at this time, but we'll keep you posted for the youth and for the church as well. Amen. God bless you this morning. Greet our visitors, invite them back, and we'll see you Tuesday night.